space.
Would never be a lonely process writing with him.
Enter.
All right, let's do this.
H-E-L-L-O space R-I-C-A. Lang, hello, Ridge.
Oh, he does speak it back. Nice.
I've been writing for print publications, online publications, work included in 6 anthologies. I thought, I've got to break down this barrier of, well, we can't publish you because you've never been published before. It's like applying for a job. We can't give you experience because you haven't had enough experience. I found a wonderful, wonderful illustrator. She lives in the Upper Hunter. The book was born. It started off as a short story.
A really interesting thing about the book, it's hard to pinpoint exactly who the audience is, because for me it would work for quite small children. I think it's ideal for older children. And no, it's not. It was a really nice way to...
I could hug you. I am so glad to hear you say that, because people keep saying children, children, children. It's a book for all ages. It's for anyone interested in history. The Hobbit was first sold as a children's book, but there's so much in it.
I should tell people that the story revolves around a moment in time in 1936 when the young Queen Elizabeth II, or Lilibet, as the family called her.
The 10-year-old princess.
The 10-year-old princess, Elizabeth, has just realised that she may well one day be queen.
Both of the princesses, although it wasn't talked about in those days, were born by caesarean section. It was highly unlikely there would be a baby brother.
So I don't know if you'd call yourself a royalist, a royal watcher, or...
Every book I could lay my hands on.
The book deals with the 10-year-old princess. What happened with 10-year-old Elaine?
10-year-old Elaine knew she was a performer. She knew she was different, but she didn't know how. And I don't mean as in the not being able to see sense, because I went to, in inverted commas, a special school. I just knew that I was going to follow a path, probably something public.
Didn't you get to feel Queen Victoria's crown on your head as well?
I did. It was a school outing of some sort, and every girl got to wear the crown, Queen Victoria's crown, for 2 whole seconds. And I remember thinking, A, how heavy it was, and B, how unyielding. I'm wondering, how did she keep that on?
Hello, how are you today?
Princess Margaret was the patron of the grammar school I went to. The year we did Toad of Toad Hall, we performed for her. I played Ratty. Don't you dare comment. And her helicopter landed in our pony field. So I have been inside one of the Queen's flight.
How far does this love of the royals go, Elaine? Because coming to your place today, I passed Princess Street, Regent Street, and Crown Street.
I never...
Is this how you shop for a home? I think there may have been something subliminal going on there when you were looking in the real estate ads.
Do you think there's a royal complex there somewhere?
I think there might be.
The only thing the Queen and I have in common are dogs, but I don't like the breed she does. The first dog that ever bit me was a corgi.
Well, you mentioned the quite savage corgi that the Queen Mother owned in the book.
That's true. And the Queen now has doggies, Dachshunds crossed with corgis.
They're trying to breed out nastier traits, are they?
Yes, apparently Dookie was not very nice, and on one occasion when he bit a visitor, the young princess was heard to say quite loudly, "Oh, look, he's made him bleed." She was a performer. She loved singing and dancing. She loved swimming, as did I. She got her life-saving certificate, which I never did. I was a body while somebody else got theirs. I had to pretend to drown. I think I would have liked her very much.
I really enjoyed this book and almost didn't expect to, because I don't have the same interest in the royals that you do. But what I found was a nice look into the mind, really, of the young Princess Elizabeth, our Queen. And it's very poignant and touching, this moment in time where a 10-year-old learns that one day they're going to carry a great responsibility.
There were 2 key points which led me to write the story. That was the first one. I hadn't the faintest idea at 10 years old what I wanted to be. Well, I mean, how many times does one change what you're doing? She never has. She never could. The other thing was the Grimm's fairy tale aspect. Yes, she could have this dazzling, glittering future. She could only have that when her beloved father died.
And I love the detail in there. And the nannies and maids, Crawfy, Bobo, a couple of the names, I remember they all had nicknames. They were real people, and I'm guessing you've got some sense of the personalities they had as well.
That's what I tried to do, and I got that from extensive reading, that Princess Elizabeth was the more serious of the two. She was the more correct of the two, usually. She did actually upturn an inkpot on the head of her French mistress once out of sheer frustration. Margaret was the bubbly one, the merry one.
Elaine, pretty much everybody listening to this interview will know your voice and remember you very fondly from your time with ABC Radio. How did you do radio? Anybody who watches a radio show being produced live to air, it's a busy scene and there's a lot of button pushing going on and phones being answered. And how did you go about doing it as a vision impaired person?
One, we use Braille Dymo labels in front of the necessary buttons.
Tell me, did any of those Braille labels say something like, not sure what this button does?
I never had one of those. The other thing I did was I worked from three piles of paper in front of me, announcements and talking points, the programs, interviews in order. As I finished one, that went to the bottom of the pile and the next one was in front of me. And on my right-hand side, I had the music for the day. The then mayor of Waratah Wynyard, Cyril Dixon was his name, came in for interview, and he was the final interview of the day. And he sat back and looked at me and he said, "You don't have much time for knitting, do you?"
Is it different when somebody new comes in to speak with you and you don't have the visual signals from them?
It's an interesting question. My mother taught me from a very, very early age always to look at the person I'm talking to. And this I have done steadfastly ever since. Yeah. Frankly, not being able to see usually was put behind the curtain. It's not important.
So that's radio. How do you go about writing books?
This is the device on which I read many of the books, a Braille note. I've got at least 10 royal books on here, and I read others as well.
Okay, why? Question? Selected. Hello, Rick, comma. How are you today? Question.
Do you have a name for him?
Not one you pronounce. The laptop is called Ben Ben. The Braille display is called Focus 40 Blue, so he's just known as Blue. But I do name things, you're absolutely right. I name everything.
Hello, Rick, how are you today?
This one, on a bad day, is just Space Junk. I worked with the editor of the original US children's magazine, Bumples. Emails whizzing around the world.
Is it for sale in the UK?
Yes, it is. It's on Amazon.co.uk. We've found a Tasmanian printer distributor whom we're about to approach to see if we can actually get it printed over here and distributed interstate as well. I'm hoping that the illustrator and I will send Her Majesty a signed copy. Whether or not she will read it, whether or not she will approve it, I may never know. But it was written with respect, admiration.
It was clearly written with respect, Elaine, and written really well. I especially love the scenes with the nannies who were offering some philosophical gems to the young princess to help her through. It was quite touching insight into a woman that I think everybody really deep down respects.
Thank you very much.
Okay, why? Question? Selected.